Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Mraz. A happy Tuesday to you. DA landed in Boise for day one of the extravaganza out west. We lead with a wild Monday night football game. Your best audio of the day, including one sports radio host telling a caller to just simply shut up. Your Trash Tuesday was, of course, today, and we're stunned to an old woman on a lobster boat. All that and more. It's the best of the DA show now.
We begin with the Monday Nighter last night, where it took overtime, but the Las Vegas Raiders finally playing in front of those home fans last year, having moved to Vegas, opening up Allegiant Stadium, but no fans allowed in the building. This was our first shot at the black hole. And so the fans were out. Lamar Jackson was doing Lamar Jackson things, and the Ravens had a 2-touchdown lead. Seemed like an easy victory in hand for a superior Ravens ball club. But the comeback was on. Derek Carr, John Gruden, and the Raiders made a push and forced overtime. And in overtime, wacky, weird things happened. Like an apparent walk-off, game-winning touchdown called down at the one, leading to on third down a throw into the end zone that was deflected off of a helmet through the hands of a wide receiver and intercepted by the Ravens. So Baltimore had a chance to win the game on the ensuing drive with a field goal. And Lamar Jackson, for the second time on the night, fumbled the football. Intense pressure from the Raiders. Turnover, and the Raiders able to ice the game. Two huge plays in the second half and then in overtime. Fumbles by Lamar Jackson led to crucial swing moments in this game. Now, we know that multiple running back options for the Ravens went down to the season-ending injuries. J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. And so it does make you wonder, with all the injuries that the Ravens have suffered, was this a case last night of Lamar Jackson perhaps trying to do too much, trying to overcome his lack of weapons and lack of support offensively? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Play action. Jackson keeps it, crosses it, and he's short of the first down. Ball comes out. Ball comes out. Raiders say they've got it. They do.
Jackson in the gun. Six in the secondary. Shotgun snap. They rush five. Down he goes. Set. Ball loose. It's loose. A fumble. The Raiders think they've got it. At the 28, let's see. Yes, they do. Jackson is fumbled. Lamar Jackson is fumbled. At the 28 of Baltimore. His second tonight.
That tipped me off. You know, I hate fumble. I hate any type of turnover. But the first one that tipped me off, because we had them right, it was right down there. You know, they little punch zone. They could have scored right then and there. That tipped me off. Then the last one, just two hands on the ball. Try to have two hands on the ball. Could have just took a sack, if anything. But it happens, football.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Park Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Lamar Jackson after the loss, 33-27. Derek Carr ends it with a touchdown pass in overtime. And that was Lamar Jackson's calls, courtesy of the Raiders Radio Network and then Westwood One as well. I do think there were moments in this game where Lamar Jackson felt like he was trying to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders and trying to do too much as he ran the football. Look, obviously, He's an elite talent. And obviously, this is a team, this is a quarterback that is going to go as far as Lamar Jackson takes them. So I can't crucify him for trying to make plays, for trying to be dynamic, for trying to be the star that the Ravens need. But there were times last night, I mean, Lamar Jackson rushed 12 times for 86 yards. There were times in the pocket where he's scrambling, trying to make things happen, where you just said, boy, I wonder if Lamar feels like there's even more responsibility on his shoulders. And so every play, he's trying to make a big play happen. You know, on that overtime, in that overtime, on that fumble, it's great pressure by the Raiders, no doubt. And it's a great defensive play on the previous fumble to punch it out as he's kind of leaning forward vertical with or horizontal with the line of scrimmage or with the field. But again, if you're Lamar Jackson and it is going to come down on your shoulders this year, you've got to be extra careful with ball security. You've got to be absolutely locked down with ball security because, frankly, last night is a crushing loss for the Ravens. They are playing in a division with obviously a pretty good Steelers team, as evidenced by Sunday, and a good Cleveland Browns team and a plucky Bengals team. The Ravens don't have an easy out in their six divisional games. They're going to be fighting for their lives for a postseason spot, obviously, so everyone matters. And you had a two-touchdown lead over the Raiders last night, and you couldn't seal it away. And normally with this Ravens team, with a solid defense, you give them a two-touchdown lead, and you're going to walk out of there with a victory. But the turnovers killed the Ravens last night. And also, I think that defense was winded the later that we got. Late fourth quarter into overtime, the Ravens defense uncharacteristically gave up big plays. When this is a 14-0 lead early, of course it's still the first half, but the Ravens just need to play it smart enough to salt away that win. And then later on in the fourth quarter, the Ravens kept putting points to the board and the defense kept giving them up. When they went up 24-17, when they went up 27-24, you know, that final drive where the Raiders drove down to game tied with a field goal before the end of regulation expired, that's a pretty bad defensive series by the Raiders, by the Ravens, rather. That's a pretty bad defensive series by the Ravens. And if you were watching the Manning cast, Peyton Manning, without getting too critical, was critical of the Ravens, saying, look, if I'm Derek Carr, if I'm a quarterback here, I want to see man-to-man. It gives me options. I don't want to see zone because they're going to keep everything in front of them and I can't get my big chunk plays. Well, the Ravens played right into that, trying to be aggressive, but they went into man-to-man and allowed those two pass plays to set up the field goal. And so I thought the Ravens, from a ball security standpoint with Lamar Jackson, faltered. And I think that defense faltered. And I think the scheming faltered late. And that's a team loss for Baltimore. For the Raiders, it's a big comeback win in a division where everybody won. So the AFC West and the NFC West are all 1-0. So the Raiders needed that. And also, Derek Carr, I think, needed that. You know, Carr seems to always be walking that fine line of starting quarterback versus cast you aside, we can improve. How can we improve? And so Carr, it's almost like a test for Carr each and every game out. And in this case, in this game, he passed. I mean, I know that that interception nearly killed the Raiders in overtime, but it's kind of hard to blame Derek Carr because, yeah, he throws an absolute rocket at the goal line, but it goes right through the hands of his wide receiver. Should he take a little off it? Perhaps. Should there be a little bit more touch? Perhaps. But he throws a dart through the hands. I mean, right through two hands of his receiver, which then bonks off of a defender's helmet up into the air and then intercepted. It's kind of hard for me to blame Derek Carr too much on a throw like that. You could say that the hard count before that, which led to the offside of the false start, was a mistake by Derek Carr. Goal line overtime, you're on the 1 yard line. Why hard count to potentially draw your own offensive lineman off when Leatherwood jumped offsides? Okay, that's fair. There's always kind of a give and take. Some good, some bad with Derek Carr. But last night, you walk out of your stadium with a win over a playoff-caliber team, having been trailing by two touchdowns and trailing twice two different times in the fourth quarter. You know what? I can't kill Derek Carr on that. It's a good win for the Raiders and a crushing loss for the Ravens. Monday Night Football.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And a reminder that the best of the DA show happens each and every day right here on the Permission Granted podcast, the PGP, which is the best of the entire week. We break it all down. Behind the show, the best of the show daily is also available in podcast form, and the full show, the full 4 hours. So for your complete listening pleasure, go to your favorite podcast platform and find our podcast by simply searching The DA Show. Subscribe, rate, and review. That helps other people find the podcast, and we would be good to go DA on demand. Now sound check, your best audio of the day. We begin with Washington quarterback Taylor Heinicke, as Ryan Fitzpatrick suffers a hip injury. Now he's placed on the IR, so that means Fitzpatrick's done for at least a month and a half. Here's Taylor Heinicke taking over the reins.
You know, I'm always excited to play. It's just unfortunate that it had to come at Fitz's, you know, injury. But, you know, I felt like we did an okay job of moving the ball. Just, you know, a couple of details here and there, whether it's, you know, a penalty or anything like that. I think we shot ourselves in the foot a couple times.
Isn't it amazing how Taylor Heinicke has fallen into this type of situation now twice? Remember last year when Alex Smith had kind of led Washington back with that furious rally kind of in the second half of the season, really the final month and a half of the season, to actually make the postseason? And then Washington ends up, well, Taylor Heinicke ends up in a big spot, and it's because they didn't trust Alex Smith in that spot. And then lo and behold, to begin this season, once again, it happens as Ryan Fitzpatrick is the guy, and he's supposed to be the starter until further notice. And then boom, what ends up happening? He gets injured in week number one. This is a guy that played at Old Dominion. Remember, he played an Old Dominion, signed to the practice squad, then finds himself starting a wild card playoff game against Tom Brady and now taking over the reins for the next month and a half minimum. The flip side is, oh, the pain of Fitzpatrick. We thought he might retire. He was only going to come back if he was actually a starter. Finally gets a starter's job, and then within the first half of the first game goes down with a hip injury. So brutal luck for Fitzpatrick, and Taylor Heinicke just keeps falling into it. And you know what? That's why Mraz named his firstborn after him. That's why.
No.
That's why Taylor Mraz is named Taylor Mraz, because Heinicke has amazing luck. I mean, Mraz, look, if Heinicke becomes the next Tom Brady, where he's thrust into action due to injury and becomes a Hall of Famer, you could always tell your daughter that she was named after him.
No, I can't do that. Not for a rival. Now, I will tell you, if Taylor Heinicke was the quarterback of the Orlando Apollos originally, I think you'd have some say.
Well, he was an XFL quarterback. Did you know he was a St. Louis Battlehawk?
I did not know he was a Battlehawk. See? Okay, so maybe that's where I would lean. Not named after being the franchise quarterback for Washington, but named after being a great spring football quarterback.
Okay, so you can get on board with telling your daughter that she was named after a quarterback from a defunct league that lasted, like, 5 weeks.
Not their fault, though. Pandemic, DA.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Pandemic ended the XFL, so that's what I would hang my hat on.
Let's get to Greg Gumbel, who's on the call of the Jaguars and Texans, the barn burner that was Tyrod Taylor blowing out the Jaguars. And Greg was given some copy to promote a European soccer league / tournament, and away we go.
Hey, want to remind you, Paramount Plus is the home of the world's game. Stream more than 2,000 soccer matches live, including Serie A, UEFA Champions League, then the NWSL, and the CONCACAF. All right, let me get this.
Oh no. If you couldn't hear that, he pronounced UEFA UEFA and then couldn't pronounce CONCACAF. That's a problem. That's a problem. Can somebody from Copy get into Greg's ear and say, hey, just so you know, you got UEFA, CONCACAF, and Serie A coming up in this read. Greg, you might want to practice this. Oh, that's a shame. That's not good. Somebody from copywriting department, somebody from promotions has got to sit down with Greg and say, hey, just so you know, we're going to blast you with a CONCACAF read in the third quarter of Jags-Texans. You've got to be aware of this. You've got to let Greg Gumbel know this is happening. You've got to let Greg Gumbel know there's a UEFA League read coming. You can't expect him to pivot from Tyrod Taylor versus Trevor Lawrence to UEFA CONCACAF at NWSL. You can't. That's bad teamwork right there. Finally, on WFAN in New York, sometimes the overnight audience can be somewhat prickly, as you might imagine, especially with a Mets season going down the drain, a Yankee season going down the drain, the New York Giants looking like just a tub of goo on Sunday, and the Jets offensive line unable to protect Zach Wilson. And so there's just a lot of angst these days in New York around the sports world. Here is overnight host Sal Licata.
Like to see them win is different than expecting them to win when they're bad.
Yeah, but when they're three games out, it just shows you how bad all the other teams
are. It has nothing to do with the games out.
They're one game under 500. That you said they stunk when there were seven or eight games over 500.
Right, and I was right.
And you were wrong. You were wrong about the Yankees there. You said they were going to get swept. So you think you're right. You're nasty to the callers. The fans take their time to call, and you call them morons. If somebody called you a moron, you would go out of your mind.
Well, who am I calling a moron directly?
Tom,
first of all, don't tell me what to do. That's number one. Number two, who am I calling?
No, you can't.
I didn't call anybody. I didn't call. No, Tom. Hey, Tom. Tom.
You know, I don't give a damn what you think. You're disrespectful. That's all I'm saying.
Tom, I didn't call.
I didn't call people.
Shut up! Shut up!
You shut up.
Oh, my God. I can't take it. I didn't call anybody a moron directly. I was referring to people on social media and people who have called.
Oh. And that is your sound check. I've got a series of questions here. Whereas, is Sal Licata, the overnight host on WFAN, now gaining a reputation as the yell guy, as the yelly, screamy, meltdown at callers guy? Because I feel like we've now played three clips and sound check of Sal
Shut
melting
up!
Down.
Shut up!
I think he is, but now that I'm getting to listen to a lot of Sal driving in, I will tell you, he is so done with hosting overnight radio by the last half hour of shows that the callers at the end just push him over the top. So the yelling always happens in that final 20 minutes of just being done with having to listen to these people for 4 hours.
So there's two ways you can go, because we did overnights for 2 years, and when you're on very little sleep and you're trying to sleep during the day, and especially sleeping during the day when you live in New York and there's garbage trucks and postal workers and construction and subways and it's just buses and yelling, it's really, really difficult. I mean, those days trying to sleep were just 2 years of the worst sleep of my life. It was really eroding my body. Two ways you can go. By the end of your shift, you can be tired and kind of just out to lunch, which I think I was. I was more loopy in the final hour than I was angry, or you could be really angry. So you're telling me that Sal is going the angry route in the final hour.
Yes, very angry, very agitated, is very tired, and just doesn't want to hear nonsense anymore.
The other thing is that when things are bad in New York, they're really bad. It's kind of like Philly. It's kind of like Boston. Its negativity can be overwhelming. And Mraz, you worked on the Fan for a number of years as a producer and then also on air. And you know, if teams are bad in New York, it just becomes a pile-on fest and everybody wants to trash the team worse than the previous caller trashed them.
Right. And then there's that element, if you ever find a silver lining, then you're a moron. You get yelled at. You're not allowed to ever be positive, even when things are bad. And then everybody's just got to one-up each other on who needs to be more angry at who.
It's who needs to be traded, who needs to be cut, who needs to be fired, which owner needs to clean house, who's a bozo, who's a bum. It gets real negative real quick.
Shut up! Shut up!
But I got to tell you, if you do sports talk radio for your career, and that's your daily existence, you might want to get out of the business. What? And if you're driven to those lengths of anger, what is this career doing to you?
And I will tell you also, behind the curtain, Sal is still doing those shows from home with a wife and a young child. So at 4:55 in the morning, his whole house, assuming you could just hear him screaming,
Shut up! Shut up!
You shut up! Good for Sal.
Good for Sal. Just lay into that, dude. That right there could be any street in New York City. That could be any subway platform in New York City. That could be any office building in New York City. Just screaming. I mean, one of the most memorable moments I'll ever have, having lived in the city for 7 years, and of course, I'm in the city every single day now for work as well. But living in the city, I was driving through Lower Manhattan, and there was one of those block-the-box situations. There is all of the cars coming into one intersection. There's no movement. And there's like a bus that is crossed into the intersection during a stoplight. And so nobody can go anywhere. And you're supposed to get points, you're supposed to get fined, you're supposed to get a ticket if you block the box. And in this case, everybody was in the box, everybody. And there was a car that was in the box blocking the other cross traffic. And a guy inches and inches and inches, and I'm telling you, it took probably 40 minutes to get through this one intersection. So that's just enough to just drive you insane. You're just watching the stoplight turn every, you know, couple of minutes, red again, then green again, and you're not moving, and you just are like, this is the worst moment of my life because I am now trapped. And we inch, and finally get up to the box, and there's a car that's blocking the cross intersection. And a guy, as he's driving by, could just keep driving to finally get through, stops his car, gets out, slams both hands on the hood of the car blocking the box and just looks at the guy that's behind the wheel of the car and screams basically like Sal, shut up! Although he didn't yell shut up, it was something else.
Shut up! Shut up!
You just shut up.
Took two big bear paws, slammed them down on this hood, got back in the car and just started driving by. Like he just needed physical frustration taken out. So when Sal says, shut up, shut up, that could be any day in New York City.
or at 5:55 in the control room during the remote.
Pete, do you sometimes do that if things get wonky on the connection side of things? Do you just slam both hands down to the control room board and say, shut up!
Shut up!
Shut up!
Shut up!
You shut up!
Usually after everything has been established.
Okay.
It was close this morning.
It was close.
Last night, Monday Night Football, Raiders survive. Trailing 14-0 early in this game, it felt like it was going to be a Ravens blowout. And yet, the Raiders kept coming back, and so you got to give the Raiders a lot of credit and Derek Carr a lot of credit. You heard Bogish play that audio snippet from Derek Carr in hour number one where he said that game kind of felt like most of his career, like, yay, oh, crap, which is, yes, most of Derek Carr's career where you're like, oh, that's a really good throw, and then, oh, my God, that's a terrible decision. And there was a lot of that last night for the Raiders. I'm not sure if you watched both broadcasts, but last night was also the debut of the Manning cast. We're on ESPN2 and then also ESPN+. Peyton and Eli were in their respective homes, and they were breaking down the game. I guess Peyton was in some type of studio, I should say, because there was a large space. Was that Peyton's home, or was that type of ESPN Plus, like, makeshift studio, Mraz?
I think it was their homes, because Eli was in a similar space of his own. So unless ESPN Plus in both of wherever they live built some kind of studios, like somewhere that isn't their home, I think it was their home, and they had an elaborate setup for each.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised if Peyton Manning has an enormous basement where he can call out plays and run plays, but it just seemed like it didn't seem like it was furnished like a home. It felt more studio-like, but he might have like a 6,000 square foot
right.
house in somewhere outside of Nashville or something like that, or New Orleans, and this is where, you know, he's got like his 13th bathroom slash game room is where they set this thing up.
Yeah, when they panned back, Eli actually had a similar amount of space and a similar TV monitor setup. So maybe ESPN just came into their homes and said, all right, where's the most space you guys have that you want to do this? And let's set you up with the way we want it to look.
So Peyton was at his home. Eli was at his home or some type of studios there. And then they also had players throughout the night join via Zoom. Travis Kelce joined. Russell Wilson joined late. And I flipped between the two. I watched half the game, I would say, with the regular broadcast, half the game with the Manning cast. Now, full disclosure, I'm not a huge fan of the regular Monday night booth. I find it to be completely mediocre. It's fine. It's serviceable. It just doesn't feel big. I think that Levy's fine. He's not a great play-by-play guy. I think Greasy's mediocre at best. I think Riddick can be good, but can't really carry the full analysis. So by and large, I'm one of those people looking for a secondary option there on the play-by-play. And I thought Peyton and Eli did that. They gave you a viable option. Now, week number one, it was clunky at times. I thought bringing in the other players was awkward because they're on Zoom. And so the camera quality is not as good. The audio quality is not as good. They're kind of stepping on one another. There's a slight delay with the other athletes. They don't know when to jump in because, of course, they've never done this before with this crew. They've got no practice. So that part of it I thought to be a little sloppy at times. But I thought the idea, the concept was really interesting. And Peyton and Eli breaking down every game, or every play rather, based on what they see from defenses, from how the offensive line is setting up, from the hot reads, the routes, what you're seeing from the opposing defensive coordinator. I thought all of that was really good. And what you realize is Peyton Manning is naturally built for this. He could right now be the best or one of the best color analysts in the game. To me, he'd be immediately right there with Aikman and Romo and Collinsworth as a tier A analyst. But Eli's also really good as well. And Eli takes the back seat. Peyton's the driver of all of this. But when Eli breaks something down, it's smooth, it's good, and it's smart. And also, Peyton and Eli are able to make fun of one another. I mean, there was a part last night, there was a moment where Peyton Manning throws on a Ravens helmet and is trying to act out one of the plays, and he's doing so in kind of a goofy way a little bit. And Eli says, "Have they ever found a helmet big enough for you with that forehead?" Now, I don't think anybody else in broadcasting can make a joke about Peyton Manning's forehead. I don't think anybody else can do that. Maybe Tom Brady, but certainly not a play-by-play guy. Joe Tessitore can't do that. Steve Levy can't do that. Greg Gumbel can't do that. Pick your guy. So that thing works. Whatever they've got there works. My biggest complaint would be I wish Peyton and Eli were in the same room, because then you can play off one another, see one another's, you know, your body language, when you're going to speak, what the next guy's going to do, yada, yada, yada. It's so much better if you're in the same space with one another. I think I'd go lighter on the guests. They had Barkley early, Russell Wilson late, Travis Kelce. I don't think you need there always to be a third guest, and maybe there won't be.
Ray Lewis, too.
Ray Lewis. But I thought, by and large, this thing worked. And I definitely thought it was a worthy second option if you got sick of the first option, or just to watch a couple of drives with the Manning brothers. I thought Mraz, whatever that was on night one, and it'll get better as the season goes on, I thought that it worked.
I agree. It was clunky. There was a fire alarm that went off in one of their houses to end the half at one point. That was a little bit of a problem. There were moments you could hear, but I guess I read it was by design, the producer telling them it was time to break. So, yeah, there was some clunkiness to it. But overall, it's like watching the game with a couple smart football fans, and you're just hanging out. So, and I think it works in a Monday night setting where you're not hanging out with whoever you're hanging out with, friends, family on a Sunday. You're on the couch. It's like you're just having the casual conversation with the Manning brothers, watching them call a game. I thought it was good. As you mentioned, it was funny. It was a good dynamic. And it definitely worked, especially because, as you pointed out, the A broadcast, it's not like you're missing much anyway. So I think this is absolutely a potential for a home run here for ESPN.
If it was Michaels and Collinsworth, I wouldn't be so quick to change off of that. I love their broadcast. I think those two guys do a hell of a job. And I think when Drew Brees takes over for Collinsworth, it's going to be really, really elite as well. I don't want to turn off Buck and Aikman because I think they call a really smooth, good game. But for the Monday night crew, you know, Mraz, I'm the type of viewer that's like, I think we can do better than this. Let me hear what somebody else has to say.
And I have to wonder, there's a cynic in part of me that only care, you know, when you care about ratings, I wonder if a lot of the games that ESPN will simulcast on network TV on ABC will be the Manning brother games, for fear that the Manning brother games actually outrate the Levy crew if they were just on ESPN and ESPN2.
Hmm. So last night was an ABC game as well as ESPN. And then they also did the Manning cast on ESPN2.
Yes. And I don't know, a part of it, because I think that's embarrassing for your A crew if you're basically, you're essentially your B crew, different broadcast outrate you. And I wonder if that's in the back of their minds.
That they would then also support the A crew by putting it on ABC.
Yes, and getting the casual audience that would have no idea the second broadcast is going, but they catch, football's on ABC tonight, let me watch it, and that pads the rating for them.
Could. Makes you wonder what the long play here is for ESPN. My guess is to try to tie Peyton Manning into doing games. I know they desperately want him to do Monday Night Football. Maybe this is him dipping his toe into it. Hey, Peyton, you don't have to travel. You can do it from home. Don't have to wear a suit. It's casual. We'll set you up, and you do like 10 to 12 games. Just see how you feel. See if you like it. I think that might be the play here for ESPN. It is a Trash Tuesday. Cue up the band.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday. My favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
Mraz, I couldn't help but notice you're wearing a Rangers t-shirt. Have you already changed? Have you already turned the page on the Giants season and the Yankee season?
DA, we're 11 days until the preseason starts. It's time to move on with our lives and get the hockey season here. That's the way I'm looking at things.
The rebuilding Rangers is a better option for you than the Yankees right now in the pennant race or the Giants after 1 week.
It can't emotionally deflate me in October, so I have to go Rangers right now as the priority.
All right, who are you trashing?
DA, this one is a trash that's occurred many times on the show, and it's going to be one of my more angry trashes of the last year. I got to go Marlins, man, DA. I don't know if you caught this Saturday night, but a very emotional, long, somber day in the country and in New York, obviously on the 20th anniversary, September 11th. This culminates with the Yankee-Met game on Fox Saturday night. You never get a Subway Series in September, but for the 20th anniversary to bring out first responders to really honor so many of the lives lost. And here you are, everybody wrapping themselves in American flags, wearing NYPD or New York Fire Department shirts, and Met fans and Yankee fans coming together, the city of New York coming together for the whole country to see on network TV on Fox. And here we go, you know, bagpipes playing, you know, people crying in the stands, and the game starts. And there's Marlins, man, front row with the stupid orange jersey. Stupid orange jersey. And for everybody that wants to defend Marlins, man, to tell me how charitable he is and how great a guy is, like, to me, that doesn't matter. If you wanted to take part in this unbelievably unique baseball event that tied into real life on Saturday night, more power to you. I think it would be great if you had your hands on tickets. And if Marlins, man, wants to spend the money and get tickets behind the plate for that game, I think that's great. But this isn't the Cubs and Cardinals in August on Sunday Night Baseball. Did Marlins man on the 20th anniversary of September 11th, with everybody basically being patriotic, have to now again make this about him behind the plate and people saying, oh, look, there's Marlins man in the orange jersey, to have his friends call him, go, oh, we see you behind the plate, wave, do the goofy thing. Of all the days to quote-unquote sit one out if you were Marlins man, would the 20th anniversary of September 11th and people crying in the stands be that moment? But again, I'm sorry, I don't care how charitable he is, he showed how much of a look-at-me selfish jerk he could come across as. There was zero reason to wear the gaudy orange, have everybody point me out at that game of all games this year. I've had it with Marlins, man. Get him out.
Trash him.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
He sucks so bad. It's one thing to do a lot of charitable stuff. That's great. I wish more people would do it. But it's another thing when you do the charitable stuff so that people know you do the charitable stuff. And it always feels like Marlins, man, needs to remind everybody that, hey, yeah, I'm here, and but I also do good stuff. Look at all these people I take to these games. Oh, but I do good stuff. I mean, because he's always front and center, wanting to draw attention to himself. He's so annoying. He's so obnoxious. It's just so tough. Andrew Bogish, who are you trashing?
DA, we resumed soccer. The fall season began around these parts on Long Island over the weekend, and we are right back in.
UFA or CONCACAF? Well,
we are right back into parents thinking this is a CONCACAF UFA title game.
Oh, no.
Because as my son, who is not even eight yet, he's on a team of 7, 8, and 9-year-olds who are learning soccer. They are babies. The first time his team goes to play offense, there's a mom to my right screaming about the lack of defensive structure on her son's team. The entire game, she is just demanding results from these kids. And at the end of the game, they don't keep score. There's no winning or losing. This is about learning. There are coaches on the field stopping the game to instruct the kids. My son's team is probably winning, I don't know, 5-1, 5-2, because the kids do keep score because they care about it too. But this mom,
my son's probably winning 5-1 with 12 minutes and 30 seconds to play, and my son scored 2 goals and had an assist on another. But who's counting? Who's keeping it?
No goals on this one. But this lady finishes off her complaints with saying that the coach should make substitutions to get the best players on the field for the comeback in our intramural soccer game. She actually said there are kids on the field that shouldn't be out there right now. We're down 5-2. So get this lady out in a hurry.
Trash.
Overflowing landfill.
Youth sports are awesome. Kids are awesome. Parents, the worst. Just the absolute worst. They're just the absolute bottom of the barrel worst. Pete the Body, who are you trashing?
Well, folks, if you're not following Peter Schwartz on Twitter, well, you're missing out. So especially you're missing out on 25 mentions yesterday of the hashtag squad up. I am getting so sick and tired of his Yankee references that just, like, no one cares. Like, he's covering the Yankee game, if you didn't know. I mean, he mentioned it about 50 times. He's covering the Yankee game yesterday, and he's given us a inning-by-inning breakdown of what happens. I can get that anywhere else from probably better sources than you. So can you give me something a little different, maybe a little more juice, and something that we haven't seen before instead of 25 hashtags of squad up? Get them out.
Trash
them. Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
Hey, Pete, did you know that Schwartz was in the locker room after the 96 World Series right around Derek Jeter when he was talking to all the other media members?
Oh, that's right. That's right. He was trying to get some merchandise. I remember hearing that. Yeah.
And did you know that Pete once caught 6 foul balls at the Long Island Ducks game?
Oh, wow. I thought it was 5.
And did you know that he once grabbed an errant puck from an Islanders skate around?
I also heard that he cut his hand on a fence and he went to a vet.
And Pete, did you know we have a segment called Meat on the Bone?
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And did you know that he had an emotional comeback from a degenerative hip injury, kind of like Bo Jackson?
How did he injure it? He injured it on the football field, right?
It's a mix of Bo Jackson and Dennis Byrd.
He injured it on the football field, right? He was about making a play?
Yeah. On the football field, that is the beach, as all-time quarterback, as his 7-year-old son ran a route, and he just fell to the turf.
Squat up.
Remember there was that player at the Pro Bowl that blew out his knee, his ACL, playing beach football, and he was never the same? Was it Robert Edwards or something?
Right. Yeah, he was a Patriot.
Basically, Schwartz had a Robert Edwards moment. He was on the beach, and then his whole leg fell off, and that was the end of his career.
That's the Holy Grail, getting that video.
The all-22s, the eye of the sky don't lie, just disintegrating on the beach. Okay, so I've got a situation where we have this fireplace in my house, but, you know, it's really decorative, so it does not throw off much heat. So we want to get something called a wood insert, which basically is wood burning, but it throws off heat. So I've been doing this kind of like shopping for this fireplace wood insert thing. And so it's a whole thing about what fits into your fireplace and what type of one you get and yada, 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 your dimensions, all this type of stuff. So on Saturday morning, I'm like, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to get out of the house. I tell my wife, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go to the showroom and see them and kind of come back for some college football and doing some stuff around the house, honey-do list, etc. So I'm thinking, bang it in, bang it out, just going to see this store display, the showroom display, to see if this is something that we would want. I go in there. It's a husband and a wife. The wife is helping somebody else. And I'm there like one of the first people in the morning, but of course there's somebody before me. That's fine. So I get the husband. I spent an hour at this place because this guy, A, wouldn't stop talking, and B, couldn't answer my questions. He was just one of these things, kind of like Marlon's Man, where he just wanted to hear himself speak. And I got to the point where I stopped asking questions just so the conversation would stop. I just wanted him to stop talking. And he
Shut
just
up!
Kept telling me,
"Shut up!"
I wanted to yell at him, and I didn't know what the verbal or physical cues would be for him to stop talking. I mean, he's going through every stove here and every dimension here and every ventilator and this and that and what it's made of, and I'm like, okay, this is good information, but I can't follow any of it because you won't come up for air. And so I got into this weird thing, I don't know if you guys have ever done this, where you're hoping the other person takes a cue that you're bored or you're disinterested
or you're distracted or you're tired or something, I'm just waiting for him to notice that I'm not listening. So I start looking other places. I gently walk away from him. I'm at one point I have physical pain on my face. Like I'm squinting at him because like I'm groaning at how long this is taking. I just wanted it to end. And he just wouldn't stop talking. And every time there was a lull, he felt it uncomfortable, so he had to just keep talking again and like pick up the conversation to the point where one hour later of listening to the same person talk about wood inserts and fireplaces, I just grabbed the catalog. And as soon as it was like a moment, I'm out of here. And then I said, can you just come for an estimate? Can you just come to the house and just give me an estimate and then we can figure this out? He goes, okay, it's going to be $350. I go, well, other places I've called, free estimates. Well, we couldn't give you all of that information for free.
Oh. Like,
what? I'm like, all right, well, if I get the stove, then it's going to be $350 towards the purchase. $175 is for us. $175 is towards the purchase. I go, so you could come out and I would just have to pay out of pocket even if I don't use you $175, even if you're not the right fit for... He goes, well, we wouldn't want to come out and embarrass ourselves. And I'm thinking to myself, you've what? Done that the entire day. Like, we wouldn't want to take... We wouldn't want to tell you that your stove would fit and then come out and it wouldn't fit. And I'm like, I'm out of here. And I drove home having wasted so much of my morning with this guy. Just shut up. Just stop talking. Give me the pamphlets and get you out. Trash them.
Luke, it's the trash compactor.
It was devastating.
That's a rough one.
It was devastating. Daniel tweets, give me Kevin Harlan and the Manning brothers on the main Monday Night crew. That would be incredible. Greg tweets, welcome back to the City of Trees. Had you convinced JP to wake up as early to come in and help you with this setup? Are you giving him all of your leftovers? Not easy. We gotta dangle Goldies in front of JP to have him run the board for us, but he's doing an admirable job. Fern Rose tweets, I'm trashing the refs in last night's game before the 55-yard field goal. The Faders had a false start and no flag. Hashtag 60-yard field goal. Trash them.
Illegal dumping.
Daniel's trashing his Indians for becoming the first team in Major League Baseball history to be no-hit three times in one season. They were also unofficially no-hit in a doubleheader game, so that's four times. Pathetic. Trash Tuesday.
Total wasteoid.
And David is trashing the lady in Starbucks who switches her order five times. Just get a coffee already. Hashtag hot garbage.
Stinky debris.
Is that right? The Indians have been no-hit three times this year and then a fourth time on an unofficial doubleheader?
Mm, yes, they have.
Oh.
Yeah, they also went 25 innings without scoring last week before the no-hitter. Oh. I mean, they're just terrible.
Standing by with headlines this morning is a kind sir, A.B. Andrew Bogish. Bogues, good morning.
Good morning again. Headlines are sponsored by 5-Hour Energy. It's the one when you got to get stuff done. Drink it in seconds, feel it in minutes, last for hours, tastes great too. 5-Hour Energy. His team could have or should have lost in regulation, then threw away a chance to win in overtime, but took the ball back from the Ravens and finally won on Monday Night Football 33-27. Raiders head coach John Gruden happy to exhale.
Felt like I died and woke up. And died again, and I was like a cat. I had multiple lives tonight.
The
multiple.
Raiders survived a goal line INT in OT. Carl Nassib then stripped Lamar Jackson, giving the ball back to Derek Carr, who eventually hooked up with Zay Jones for the 31-yard winner. Baltimore, meanwhile, led on three different occasions in the fourth quarter. They also started the game with a 14-0 lead, so this one ends a streak of 98 consecutive regular season wins when leading. Ooh. By 14 or more. The 49ers won Sunday in Detroit, but suffered two major injuries. Running back Raheem Mostert likely out 2 months with cartilage damage in a knee, and corner Jason Verrett tore his right ACL. And Broncos wideout Jerry Jeudy expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain. USC football fired head coach Clay Helton yesterday on the heels of a upset loss at home from Stanford. AD Mike Bone pretty salty in a statement, quote, as I committed to upon my arrival rival at USC. During the past two off seasons, we provided every resource necessary for our football program to compete for championships. The added resources carried significantly increased expectations for our team's performance, and it is already evident that despite the enhancements, those expectations would not be met without a change in leadership.
That's what happens when you get boat raced by Stanford and you're a 17-point favorite. Sorry, you're out. You don't even last the week.
Guys, I'm pretty sure we tried to bury the Giants about 10 days ago when the Dodgers caught them atop the NL West, and now I'm pretty sure the Giants haven't lost since.
Wow.
Swing, and there's a shot in the deep left field. Still going, way back there. Goodbye! It's a three-run homer for Longoria, and now it's a five-run first inning for the Giants.
John Miller on Giants radio. That five-run first became a 9-1 win over the Padres. That's an eight-game win streak. The Giants, the first team this season to clinch a playoff spot, and they maintain their two-and-a-half-game lead on L.A., who beat Arizona 9-1. The Padres and Cardinals now a half game behind the Reds for the second wild card. St. Louis blanked the Mets 7-0. The Blue Jays still hot, an 8-1 win over the Rays. They're now 12-1 in September. They lead the wild card standings by a game over the Red Sox and Yankees. Boston losing in Seattle 5-4 after New York topped Minnesota 6-5 in 10 in the afternoon. And the NBA on the verge of eliminating automatic reviews of out-of-bounds plays in the final 2 minutes of games. You will need a coach's challenge going forward. The plan does need approval from the Board of Governors later this month. And finally, let's get stunned.
Woo-hoo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So, I don't know about you guys, but I can't wait to retire. Not that I want to be old. I just don't want to work anymore.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that says something about my...
And you have an amazingly easy job that everybody would love to have.
Yeah, and I would stop it tomorrow if I could, because I don't want to do anything. I guess I'm just that lazy. So I'm not mad at this mother-son duo. I just don't understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
78-year-old Max Oliver and his mom, Virginia, who is 101 years old, are still running their lobster boat off the main coast. I'll say it again. Son and mom, 78 and 101, are lobster fishing. They're not watching Wheel of Fortune and playing bridge. They're not sitting on a porch drinking lemonade. They're lobster fishing. Now, it's not as dangerous as Deadliest Catch, but it's dangerous enough that sweet 101-year-old Virginia recently needed 7 stitches for a cut. Now, Max gets the traps out of the water. She sorts the lobsters, throwing back the ones that are too small. And despite the recent injury, her doctor saying, please stay home, she has no intention of stopping. And Max says if he wanted to stop, mom wouldn't let him. She doesn't think it's that big of a deal. She's been doing it since she was 7 or 8, which was before the Great Depression.
Oh, my goodness. I saw this story, and it said that this woman, what's her name? Got to find her name.
Virginia.
Virginia Oliver has been lobster fishing for nearly a century. And I'm like, well, no. I mean, she's been alive for a century, but she hasn't been lobster fishing. And then sure enough, it says she started when she was 8 years old in the late 20s. She has nearly been on a lobster boat in Maine, where it's not exactly the sun and fun of the Pacific coast, for nearly 100 years. She's been doing the same job in Maine, cold, windy, blustery, freezing, Maine, for nearly a century, doing the same job. I'm telling you this right now. If you ever hear me complain about this job, smack me with a glove, hit me over the head with a mallet, do something. Because when I hear about these old people that are still clucking, still ticking, still trucking at 95, 98, 101, I mean, I'm like, what could I ever have to complain about? This woman is out there fighting the elements for a century on a lobster boat. I walk into a studio and make fun of what Mraz ate over the weekend during a football Sunday. I could never, ever complain, ever, 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 ever complain. And it is something that I always bristle at because my grandmother was a cleaning woman at the Empire State Building for her entire life. She worked overnights. So, you know, she would go there at night, work overnight, obviously, when cleaning people work, and then come home and raise four children. And she never, ever complained. I mean, and she retired, and then she would be, you know, like raking leaves in our yard and like doing dishes and like painting cabinets. I'm like, Grandma, you don't have to work all the time. She loved it. But she was from the old school. She was an immigrant, and she just was absolutely never complained, just always work. And so I always bristle when people like in our industry that, you know, they got to wake up early, they got to stay late, they got to work a Saturday. It's like, oh my God, the bosses are driving me crazy. I'm like, you have no idea what real work actually is. But this is real. Wow. Lobster Boat 101, and she has no plans to retire in Maine? I'm sorry. That's a walk-off, Mraz. Mic drop right there.
She's wonderful. And if my math is correct, which oftentimes it's wrong, she started this endeavor as a lobster boat fisherwoman. Uh-huh. Around the year Mickey Mantle was born. So just to give you an idea of how long she's been doing this. And you know what? Shame on the son for even saying she wouldn't let him retire. Why should she retire? Why should anybody force her out? If she's 101 and still getting stitches and she's fine and toughing it out, this is what drives her. Get her on that boat every day. Good for her.
Good for her.
Good for her. This is great.
You know, if you find something that you love, this is so cliche, but it's so true. If you find something you love, you never work a day in your life. And she has found something she loves, so she doesn't feel like it's working. It's just what she does and what she loves. She started lobster fishing before television.
God bless.
I mean, she's been
before
on a lobster.
Before we ate lobster.
before lobster was a delicacy, she was probably fishing them for prisoners.
Yeah, somebody eat these damn things.
They're big bugs. Somebody eat them. They're tasty, though.
She's good for her.
She probably caught lobsters this summer that she also caught the lobster's great-great-great-grandparents.
Yeah, that's right. She has fished five generations of lobsters out of that bay. Oh, no. The Black Widow of Death is back. Virginia Oliver. She killed my great-grandfather. Now she's coming for me. This woman's awesome. And by the way, that Boston and New England just creates this. There's just some of the most hearty, hardworking, grizzled people. Like, you'll find old people in New England that the winters don't bother them. You know, they look at those fugazi New Englanders that go down to Florida and retire or winter down to Florida. They just spit on them. Like, you can't take a little snow. You can't take a little wind. You can't take a little frozen rain. You can't take a blizzard, a nor'easter, or three per winter. Get out of here. You know, they're the dock workers, the wharfers, the old people that live in those cabins in Maine and New Hampshire. And they just think that you're so pathetic if you can, and they never complain about the weather either. Like, oh yeah, another nor'easter. Oh yeah, another 5 feet of snow. Oh, yeah, what are you gonna do? I mean, this woman is just the best. God bless Virginia Oliver. I just hope that at some point I've eaten her lobster in one of my lobster rolls when I've gone to Maine or gone up to New England, because she's the Tom Brady of catching lobster. I mean, when's it going to end? For Tom Brady, it's like he's ageless. For Virginia Oliver, 101, you know, when are you going to call off the dog? 105? Right. Nobody's ever caught lobsters as long as her. She's changing the game. They're like, when is Virginia going to retire and leave the rest of the lobsters for us?
There was some Garoppolo definitely drafted onto that boat. She had shipped out of town.
Oh, yeah, Virginia had him shipped out of town. This is her boat. This is her bay.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Mark Schlereth wants to tell you all about Spam French fries. Here's your fail.
So Spam is a big staple at my house. I mean, the Spam Musubis. You know, fry Spam, pack it in rice. They'll even put an ume in there, for crying out loud, a salty plum. It's ridiculous good. The fries... Dude, you can fry them up in an air fryer. You can fry any way you want.
What?
And they come out, you just cut them like the size of fries and then fry them either on, in a pan, in a skillet, in a fryer, or in an air fryer.
With bacon!
And so it gives you the same texture. It's like eating a fry, but all you're getting is Spam, right? If you're like me and trying to eliminate the carbs so I can look sexy on television,
yes.
You know, Spam fries are the way to go.
Me, the porker of all porkers.
Hey, guys, I got a roll. I got another interview set up.
We want refunds. Okay, Mraz, your thoughts on Spam French fries. I'd never heard of this.
I will tell you this. As the food guy on the show, I think I ripped through about 980 things I'd rather have in my mouth other than Spam fries. So that's going to be a pass for me. And, I mean, we're ranging from bike tires to food there. I'm not even just talking about food.
You'd rather gnaw on a bike tire than a Giants and Eagles game than eat Spam French fries?
Right. Like, if you just had a warehouse full of things that said, Mraz, you got to put this in your mouth, and, like, I could rank them, Spam fries are not getting in my mouth. Not happening.
So you'd rather gnaw on a bike tire like Jerry Tarkanian eating his towel than you would Spam fries?
I would.
Put an ume in there, for crying out loud.
Yes, I would. I would rather eat that dog chocolate chip again as well, and even a bigger piece than gnaw on it.
I'm interested in Spam fries. I don't know if I could eat an entire – I mean, I really like French fries. Who doesn't like French fries? I'm not sure I could eat more than maybe two Spam shards.
I like the saving on the carbs, but yep, you're gaining it on the salt.
Oh,
that was great. Trying to sell fried Spam as a healthier alternative to French fries.
You said put it in your air fryer. Like that's you know what? You're right. We'll eliminate the oils here.
Yep.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Advanced Analytics, one serving of Spam is 34% of your daily sodium intake. That's a third. That'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to JP back here at KTIK Studios helping me out on this end as well in Boise. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines and Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Tomorrow morning, once again, we're from Idaho, broadcasting all week long. Tomorrow, I'm in the woods in McCall, Idaho. So be around for that tomorrow morning right here on the Daw. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.